All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October the 2nd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. Back to the week, back to the beginning, starting over. Fresh week, fresh start. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It is beautiful here, finally. We had a week of, I don't know, rain, fog, mist, haze. It was pretty, it's been pretty gloomy for the last week. Apparently New York City was getting like pounded by rain. Rain for 7 days, flooding. Crazy. But seems to be kind of moved out back to some sort of normal weather pattern, I guess. But it is beautiful. Slept in this morning. I was supposed to go to the gym. Skipped it. I am worn out. I am beat up. I shouldn't say that. I am just, you know, we started going to the gym last week. I was sore throughout the week. And then finally yesterday, we got to go out for a paddle. My coach is like, it's going to be beautiful. He's been texting all week. Beautiful day on Sunday. Going long. Get ready. It's going to be amazing. I was like, yes. And so we get down there and it's windy. It was nice. It was the temperature was nice, but man, the wind was blowing out of the northeast. The ocean was rough, but at that point, we were prepared and ready. So off we went out into the ocean, and man, I got a whooping. I hadn't paddled for a couple weeks. You'd think paddling all summer, I would be in some sort of condition at any moment, right? At any time I'm called to paddle, I should be ready. I've been doing this all summer. Turns out that's not the case. I was dying. And the wind was crazy. We left out of Lewis, went straight out northeast, out of the little passage there in Lewis. We call it the Dolphin Pond. Straight out, straight into the wind. And probably went out, I don't know how far. And then turned around and then rode the wind in. Kind of trying to ride waves, trying to surf them in. Went back out through the wind. And then finally, we kind of ducked in behind this wall where a lot of birds and stuff live. And, oh, my God, the wind was blowing this nasty bird shit smell on us. Oh, it was disgusting. It was awful. I mean, it was great, but, my God, that shit stinks. And we finally got around the wall. And then my coach is like, we're going. Don't ask me why, but off around the wall we went, back to the other side, the windy side. And, man, the waves were crazy. And yeah, we did it. It was actually about 9.2 miles. Oh, I was absolutely dying. But it was great. I love it. So grateful to be involved in that group and get to go out and do that. I'm sure most people are sick of hearing about paddling, but I love it. And it keeps me healthy. Keeps me. We were texting afterwards, and I was just saying, you know, I just needed that. I needed to go out and paddle. And what I really needed was just get outside and suffer a bit.
Isn't it?
Black Crowes, Sometimes Salvation. Great song, great song. I am a believer. I need to suffer, right? I do need to be inconvenienced. I do need to grind it out. I do need to get to the point where I want to quit and push past it, because that is where the miracle happens. I need all that stuff. I need all that great humility, ego, puncturing bullshit that fucking takes place in my life, man. I need, you know, I think about that a lot. If what my life would be like if I retired, you know. I mean, I'm 55. I'm not retiring anytime soon. But it's funny how people, me, daydream about that, right? Daydream about retirement, daydream about the weekend, daydream about summer break, daydream about vacations. And but I've said this before, some of my worst days are my days off. And I don't mean like, you know, tragedy or heartbreak, right? It's still this battle with self and humility, and self loves a good day off. Self loves a good day of doing nothing. You know, I daydream of it. I fantasize of it. And the reality is, when that day comes and I my dream comes true, right? My dreams all turn out just like I was hoping. I end up doing nothing, and then I end up feeling sort of crappy, right? I don't mean I'm just on the couch all day, but there's nothing great about doing nothing, right? I love a good day's work. I love a good paddle. I love going to the gym. I mean, it's an inconvenience, right? And that's, even though I haven't had a drink in a long time, that problem still exists. And, you know, I shared, I don't know, a few times that I'm trying to find different meetings. I'm trying to mix it up. And so I was going to go to a meeting on Saturday. Was pretty sure there was a 6 o'clock meeting. If not, there was a 7 o'clock meeting somewhere. And I did a bunch of stuff, and then I was looking at the meeting list, and I was like, shit, there is no 6 or 7. But there was a 7:30, and it was down in Rehoboth. And it used to be a meeting that I attended to a lot back in the day. You know, there was my life before the pandemic, right, and life after the pandemic. Life, my meeting life before the pandemic was so much different than my AA life is now, right? Because prior to the pandemic, I was going to all sorts of meetings, but we were living in a different place. We were living down by the beach. There was a lot of meetings just, you know, right in that area. And so I was doing all sorts of different meetings. After the pandemic, a few things changed. One, we moved. And then two, I just started hitting different meetings. But you know, they're starting to get stagnant. So I'm looking for new meetings. So I found this one that I used to go to. But my God, you know, it's down in Rehoboth. Freaking, the people that come to this town is insane. I have a resentment. I really need to say that. I have a resentment. I've had it for a while. It's pretty sad. But it's just this, you know, when you've lived in a town for so long and you see all these changes, and then you see this huge change that happened during the pandemic where just all of the people moved here. I mean, it's inevitable, right? It's bound to happen. We live in a pretty awesome place. The word was about finally going to get out, but my God, it just changed everything. And, you know, before the pandemic, I could go to a meeting. I could drive down, find a parking spot, have a nice time, get home, no problem. Now, every time you go into town, there is no parking, right? Tons of people. And I have, like, this resentment. And I'm, like, attacking them with my mind. I'm like, sons of bitches, right? You know, and this is all inconvenience. And what does inconvenience create for me, at least? Arrogance. And, you know, like I've said before, arrogance. My buddy Matt, guys like you and me are arrogant. And I was laughing. What the fuck does that mean? He goes, we run by a different set of rules. And so what he was saying is that when I become inconvenienced, I shift into a different set of rules, meaning my behavior changes, the way I react changes, my thinking changes. It all becomes from a place of self, right? And so nobody's going fast enough. There's too many people on the road. I can't find a parking spot, blah, blah, blah. And that is what happened to me going down there. I became very negative and frustrated, could not find parking, finally found a parking spot, had to walk a couple blocks, no big deal, I don't mind walking, but it was just, you know, I'm being inconvenienced, right? And I became arrogant. And so when I got to the meeting, you know, that meeting's completely changed. You used to have like one big table in the room. Now it's got four little tables, sort of like you're in school. That's how I felt when I walked in. The girl running it, or the lady running it, she's like, yeah, this is a traditions meeting. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, okay. But there was, I was the only person there. I'm like, well, geez, by the amount of people here, maybe you should think about changing it. We don't change meetings. We have to have a group conscience and all this stuff. I was like, I know. Okay, I'm sorry. I was already a little grumpy, and I shouldn't have said that, right? But my point was, like, if nobody's coming to this meeting, maybe think of a different topic or a different subject. I don't know. None of my business, right? That was the part I forgot, that honestly, nobody cares. It's none of my business. Come in, sit down, Tom, shut the fuck up. But no, and I'm friends with this lady. We've been friends 20 years. So anyway, it got started off on kind of a weird foot. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few more people showed up. And then she's like, hey, you know, Tom, do you mind speaking? I was like, God, okay. What are we speaking on? The ninth tradition, which is, let's look at the ninth tradition, because I was trying to figure out what I was going to say. Tradition number 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Well, I have never had my buddy Harry W. used to do a traditions meeting, and it was great. I think the traditions are important. You know, somebody says, if you don't like a meeting, grab the 12 and 12 and go start your own, right? Go grab the traditions, because I've been told that the traditions are basically the ground rules for starting a meeting, right? And so that's why we have so many meetings now. All these people didn't like the other meetings, so they started new ones. And I was like, I don't know what I've even talked about. But, you know, AA as such ought never be organized, right? But we may create service boards or committees that are directly responsible to those they serve. You know, to me, that's still, I think that falls back into sort of like principles over personalities, right? I've seen personalities ruin so many things, right? Even at this meeting I went to last night, they gave, a ticket, right? And then they call the number, and if they call your number, you win a book. That's a personality, right? That's not the principles of AA. That's somebody came up with that idea. And it's cool, right? It's nice to give away a book, but that's a personality. So I think that's what I would have tried to talk about. But the good thing was there was a newcomer there. There was a guy with just a few days. So, of course, we went right back to the first step and ended up sharing on the first step. And it ended up being a fantastic meeting. You know, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. You know, that is quite the door to step through, right? I mean, when I came in through a hospital. I had probably admitted that I had a problem many times, but I wasn't even sure really for me what I was admitting to, right? Because I thought that I came in as a victim, right? So it's everybody else's fault. So I was admitting that it was everybody else's fault. I'm not sure I was admitting that it was mine. I would sort of figure that out later. I mean, I might have admitted it, the words came out, but I'm not sure that it was what I was thinking in my head, right? I think I was more coming from, I can't believe alcohol did this to me. I can't believe my neighbors did this to me. I can't believe that guy at the bar did this to me. No accountability. So, but how do you explain that? That's one of the tough things about, I think, being in a program and having any time, because, you know, over time you experience stuff, right? And you work things out, and you want to be able to share all those tidbits of information to somebody that's new, but the reality is that you can't. You can't share, because the fact is we have to each, I guess, that we each as an individual have to go through it all. You know, you go through it and you learn. It's like raising kids, right? You just keep adding tools to the tool belt. And so my advice was just keep going to meetings. Go to a meeting every day. Go to a meeting every day and get a sponsor. I think if someone's coming into this program and they're new, I think that for me, I think that's decent advice. Go to a meeting every day and get a sponsor, right? Don't worry about the steps. Probably a bunch of people are going to yell at me for that. But I think that, I had to just figure out who I was again, just trying to be a human again. So I had to, you know, take it very slow. I was told, don't say anything. You got nothing to share. I thought that was fantastic. But my advice, just go to a meeting every day. Go to a meeting every day. Go to a meeting every day. Get a sponsor. Share with your sponsor. If you have any questions, that's what sponsors are for. You know, I've been to New York City, and then I've been to New York City with people that know New York City, right? And what a different experience. You know, I could go, the first time I went to New York City by myself, or I think it was with somebody, but neither person knew the city. And, you know, we bounced around a couple streets, maybe got on the subway. But in general, the experience was kind of, yeah, it was meh. It was just, wasn't that great. I was like, I'm not a big fan of the city. Then I went, we went with my, our family that lives up in Connecticut. They took us to the city and we went everywhere and it was amazing, right? I was like, holy cow. Same thing with the program, right? You can come into a program. If you don't get a sponsor and you try to do this on your own, it gets very discouraging, right? I think that's why, you know, people say go to a lot of meetings, get a sponsor. Sponsor's the guy taking you around the city. You know, he knows all the hot spots, right? He knows all the good pizza places. He knows the places you can see great things for taking pictures, right? The scenic views. It's the same with a sponsor. You hope, right? They can sit down and try to teach you and you know, point out things to worry about, point out things not to worry about, focus on this, maybe not as much on this. In time, we'll get here. In time, we'll get there. But it's important. And, you know, if you find a good sponsor, you know, hopefully they'll be like, hey, you know, we'll take it slow, right? I've seen some sponsors, they want to do the first 12 steps, right, in the first month. I might be exaggerating. I don't know exactly the timeline, but let's get into it. I remember going to rehab and doing the steps. It's a lifetime for me, at least. It's been a lifetime, or I shouldn't say, it's been a big chunk of my life working on these steps. And over time, you know, and I can remember, you know, being 10 years into it and being like, yeah, I think I've got this figured out. And then, you know, I've really had a great reset lately. You know, after the pandemic, coming back to this program, I started to see this in a different way. This program and how these steps work in my life is completely new than how it was working for me in 5 years ago, right? I've had this, like, I've been blown into the fourth dimension, right? I've started to kind of recognize it, and it's really cool, right? It's very cool, but I had to do the time. And so my advice is, if you're new, just go to a lot of meetings, man. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the meetings. Get a sponsor. And like I told this guy, you got an issue, write it down. You know, you got something good or bad, write it down. And then when you get with your sponsor, just go through it. Look, this is what was going on. So-and-so came up to me and they told me, look how good you're looking. You're doing so good. Write that down, right? Because that's, you know, we love to point out when people say, man, you're a fuck up, you're a screw up, you're destroying our lives, you're doing all this. Yeah, we got all that. But when someone comes up and says, look how good you're doing, you know, that can be dangerous, right? That can be dangerous. Write it down, right? Talk to your sponsor. Yeah, man, someone said I was doing great. You are doing great. But like I said in the meeting the other night, it takes a lot of work to be normal. My friend Andrew introduced me. She's like, I really like Tom. He's doing all this stuff. And, you know, kind of really raised me up a bit. And I'm like, phew. And I said, you know, hey, my name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. And it takes a lot of work to be normal, right? What I am doing, the where I'm at in my life is what normal people do, right? What do? I get up, I go to work, come home, take care of my family, relax, go to bed, do it all over again, right? Nothing special. Right, but our line is becoming lower and lower. Right, our line of expectations are becoming lower and lower, and it's like easy. It's easier now to be a guy than ever. You know, back when I was a kid, so many men and women did very well, but nowadays, man, so many people are struggling. It's like, oh, you don't drink, you go to work, and you raise your children. You're an amazing guy. It's like, no, that's what we're supposed to do. I know that sounds funny, but it is exactly what we're supposed to do. Don't confuse what we're supposed to do with being awesome. There is a difference. And being awesome doesn't really, it's not something I'm looking for. I do not want to be awesome. I want to be average, middle, you know. Yesterday when we were paddling, oh, man, it was brutal. And I was paddling with Dave, my coach. this chick Jill, who's just an amazing paddler from, I think she's from up in Philly, but I think she's, you know, Hawaiian, and she's just been paddling her whole life and just knows, you know, how to put the paddle in the water. It's a whole thing, right? And then this chick China, who was paddling with this, same thing. She was competing and paddling something. I mean, she's just a paddling expert. And then my buddy Mark, who was in seat one, he was grinding us through it all. And Jill's like, you know, Tom, if you just, you know, if you put the paddle in, just reach a couple inches to try to get that paddle in a little farther, you know, and then pull it back and then try to get the paddle out from where your hip is, right? And it's basically this box from, you know, if I'm in this, in the boat, from about my hip to almost about, like, if my legs were stretched out straight to maybe where my feet would be in this, like, triangular or rectangular box, that's really where I need to be working when I'm paddling. And I need to reach out, right? I need to reach forward and then pull that paddle back and then take it out before it gets past my hip. Because once you get past your hip, you're almost pulling, when you pull up on the paddle, you're almost trying to rotate the boat, right? So she kept giving me these pointers. Tom, get your paddle in early. Pull it out by your hip. And it was rough. I was dying out there. And she's like, you know, an hour later, she's like, Tom, you know, really try to get that paddle, get that extra inch, right? And I'm like, I'm still trying to do that from the first time you told me, right? I'm still working on it. It is a, I'm average, right? I'm just doing the best I can. But it was funny because she was laughing. But that's what I am. I'm just average. I've never been fantastic at anything, right? I'm good at average. And that's what I need to be. I need to stay average and just keep hanging in there, right? Let's see if I can read the daily reflections. What time is it? Good weekend of football. Anybody watch football? It was a great Jets game. I'm not a Jets fan. I just kind of listened to the story. I like Aaron Rodgers. He got his leg screwed up, and they put that Zach Wilson in, and man, he has been taking a beating physically and emotionally, and the media has been tearing him down. I feel bad for these guys. You know, everybody wants to be famous, right? We work so hard to be amazing, right? We get to that next level, and it's just open season on fucking anybody that wants to criticize you, right? And I mean, nobody can do anything good. It's like, if anything we do in life, there's always going to be 1,000 people that are going to criticize it. Man, that's terrible. I feel bad. And so he's been struggling, but he played last night, and he had the first quarter was a little rough, but he started playing really well. The Jets lost to the Chiefs. I think it was 20-23. It was a decent game. I was happy for the guy. I really felt, I think he needed that. And he needed that up, right? That he'd been down. He'd been beaten so badly. And he finally had that, you know, kind of a positive day. I hope he comes out of that with some positivity, because he has been fucking slaughtered. All right, let's see. October the 2nd, the acid test. As we work the As we work the first 9 steps, we prepare ourselves for the adventure of a new life. But when we approach step 10, we commence to put our AA way of living to practical use. Day by day, in fair weather or foul, then comes the acid test. Can we stay sober, keep in emotional balance, and live to good purpose under all conditions? Yeah, can we? Right. Great question. All right, that was 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 88. I know the promises are being fulfilled in my life, but I want to maintain and develop them by the daily application of step 10. I have learned through this step that if I am disturbed, there's something wrong with me. The other person may be wrong too, but I can only deal with my feelings. When I am hurt or upset, I have to continually look for the cause in me, and then I have to admit and correct my mistakes. It isn't easy, but as long as I know I am progressing spiritually, I know that I can mark my effort up as a job well done. I have found that pain is a friend. It lets me know there is something wrong with my emotions. Just a physical pain lets me know there is something wrong with my body, But when I take the appropriate actions through the 12 step, the pain gradually goes away. Yeah, I mean, that's all. I mean, it's about accountability, right? I've played a role in everything that's happened to me, right? If my feet were there, I played a role in it, right? And some people, including myself, had trouble recognizing that. First, I didn't even know. I wasn't aware that that even took place. When I found out, then I couldn't stop paying attention to it, right? I couldn't stop realizing that everything that's gone on in my life, I was part of the problem, or, you know, part of the success. But it takes humility. It takes that, you know, that humble lifestyle living, the willingness, right, to look at it. Some people, you know, I've talked about that one guy, man. He just is so angry. And you know, he should be, right? Maybe he should be. But at some point, you have to at least figure out that you played a part in it, right? You can't blame everybody. And if that's what you do and that's where you're at and you're blaming everybody, it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be a tough existence because it's you can't move forward blaming everybody else. You can't move forward. You get stuck. You can't be a victim. And the willingness to look at our role that we played in stuff, to me, is the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. You know, I came into this program. I can only speak for myself on this, but you know, I came into this program looking for a one-way communication with God. And it was more like, you know, hey, God. Hey, Tom. How's it going? Good. What's your problem? This is my problem. How can I fix it? You know, that was the relationship I thought was available. And that's not the relationship. The more I can be accountable for my situations, the more the relationship becomes open. Right? The more... The longer it takes me to become accountable for a situation, the longer that the relationship it takes for that relationship to start. You know, if you're a victim, if I'm a victim, I'm not having a relationship, right? I'm probably like, God, come fix this. God, come fix that. You know, instead of saying, you know, dear Lord, this is the part I played. I recognize that. I'm going to try to do that differently. The people that were involved, hey, this is the part I played. You know, I had a guy come in the other day, a client, and we were talking, and he had a terrible situation. Unfortunately, you know, a person in his life was using, and, you know, he loved this person, right? And so he's trying to help, and it just kind of kept snowballing, and then shit went crazy, and that relationship ended, right? It ended. And he was very bitter. And I told him the other day, well, I told him a while back. I go, listen, man, you know, we all play a part, you know. And at that moment, he's just like, I can't believe this person did this to me. Fuck this person. And I'm like, you know, man, we all play a part, right? We all, and he did. And he admitted it, right? And he's working on it, right? But, you know, that relationship is still struggling. And I said, you know, we still got to keep playing, recognizing the part we play in it, you know. And I told him, I said, listen, and his eyes got sort of wide open, but I'm like, you know what I would do is I would take a piece of paper and I would write down all of the things that you did wrong in this relationship, and which is hard for someone to do, especially when the relationship went bad and they're sort of the one kind of got screwed in it. It's hard to stop and make a list of all the things we did wrong, right? But I said, why don't you make a list of all the things that you did wrong in this relationship, make an amends, apologize for it, and then move on, you know? Become accountable for the role. Even though you're the one getting fucked, even though you're the one getting screwed over in this one, make a list of all the things that you did wrong, all the things that were your fault, apologize for them, tear it up, and move on. And that way, hopefully you can find some closure and you can move on, right? You don't have to be a victim. Anyway, yeah, I hope everyone has a great day. It is Monday. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a great week. And we'll chat later. Bye.